This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. I have a guest with me today from across the pond from where I am here in Canada. And we're going to talk all things side hustle today. And we have a ton of resources for you from my guest website. And you're going to be inspired by the message, the story behind how my guest has started a side hustle and who she serves with the great resources on her website and her Facebook community. So much to talk about. Sarah is here with me today. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hello, David. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I've been looking forward to this conversation. I am well. Thank you for asking. Let's do it right off the top. Sarah, tell everybody about the website. Let's give them that at the beginning so they can follow along on our conversation today.
So my organization is called Excel Against the Odds, and the website is excelagainsttheodds.co.uk. And it's for people with chronic illnesses who want to either run their own business or get a job.
Awesome. They talk about finding your niche and finding your audience and community. Not only are you talking side hustle, but specifically helping people with chronic illnesses and things they're living through and having to still work and supply and provide for their families and contribute. What a great idea of combining a side hustle with this stage in some people's lives where maybe the news has caught them off guard and they still want to do something to help their family. I love the idea. So well done on creating something that's needed. This is great. So as we're talking, I have your website up on the screen. So I'm enjoying the website and I'm really excited to get into our conversation today. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Awesome. So let's start with a little bit about your backstory. Maybe a little bit about how all this came to be. You're coming at this with a personal story that ties into your big plan to help people. And I'd like to kind of unpack that a little bit just so we can get some context for the people listening to our episode today.
Certainly. So the reason why I'll tell you a bit about my backstory. So I had a successful career as a management consultant and then a senior operations manager. And I found that my health was starting to become a bit more difficult. At first, I thought it was just overwork and stress, maybe too much traveling, working too many hours. But it just got worse and worse to the point where I lost my career as a result of my chronic illnesses. And it took a while to get myself back on track. I still have my chronic illnesses. They affect me on a daily basis. But I started to get real ambition back again. And I knew that I had to work to provide for my family. So it's about finding the best way to make that work. So I got a job in IT, which is my part-time job. But I wanted to do a bit more than that. So I started a business where I made my own skincare products, making bath bomb and lip balms. Making them into kits for children and then running parties. But I overdid it completely. And I remember I had a big Christmas fair a few years ago now. And the day before the big Christmas fair, I ended up in hospital with severe shoulder pain. I already had one frozen shoulder and I could not move the other one. And realised that I had just completely overdone it, trying to work my main job, run a business and raise my family as well as having chronic illnesses was just ridiculous. And I had to change my way. So I promised myself at that moment that I was going to find a way to make it work with my chronic illnesses and that I wasn't going to overdo it anymore. So that set me on a challenge to sort of try and find out more information about how I can run a business with a chronic illness. And I searched everywhere trying to find information and get support and I couldn't find anything at all. So, I found my own ways of doing things, working smarter, not harder, being more productive so I could get more done in less time, getting the right strategy for my business so that it wasn't putting too much pressure on my health. And then I started a community for other business owners because I thought that this is sort of thing that needs to be shared. And also just knowing that other people are experiencing what you're experiencing makes it so much easier to deal with as well. Because it can be quite lonely when you're running a business, and it can be lonely when you've got a chronic illness. So trying to find that community of people where they understand what it's like and they also need your support as well. So I created a Facebook group called Entrepreneurs Against the Odds. It's grown from there. And I now offer mentoring and workshops as well. So trying to really help people to run their business while living with chronic illnesses, because I think it's really important that people with chronic illnesses aren't forgotten. At the moment, I feel like it's very much the forgotten part of society. Mm-hmm. And I really think that if somebody wants to work, they should have the support to work, and whether that's in self-employment or working for somebody else. So the other part of my business now is that I'm moving into is to support corporate organisations so that they can better support employees with chronic illness as well, because I think we really do need to support people with chronic illness as much as possible.
Okay, so that's okay. I love that you tried to find something, it didn't exist. So you're like, I'm just going to make this. And I'm going to create it because I need it, right? You are your own customer. You're the audience that you can't find. So that's amazing. So looking at the website again, you focus in on I'm looking at the tabs here. You got entrepreneurs, employees, and employers. So you have resources and help for people through the website. Kind of take me through the idea of the things that you offer on your website when somebody comes here for the first time. Where's a good place to start? Should they start with the about me part and kind of get more about you?
Yeah. I think it depends what sort of person. If it's somebody who wants to set up their own business, then find out more about me on my about page, and then go to the entrepreneurs section if you're looking at starting your own business or if you already have your own business. Because in there is a free resource. It's a masterclass on, it's a video basically on how to run a business, what the key elements of running a business when you've got a chronic illness are. And you can download that for free on the website. The audience I tend to work with are corporate organizations. So they tend to go to the employers section, or employees is an area that I'm just starting on, where I'm supporting mentoring people who are working and just need to find that balance with working and looking after their health, and maybe having those difficult conversations with their boss about how to get more support when they're working as well.
What are you seeing on behalf of employers where there's a gap in knowledge or practical solutions for employees living with chronic illness in the workplace? What kind of things come to mind where you're like, if I could get a group of employers in one room and tell them something that's important on behalf of employees like yourself, what would that be? What would that big message be if you had them all in one room and they couldn't get out until they heard your message? What would you tell them?
I think the most important thing I would say is the number of people who are affected by chronic illness. It is enormous. And an organization will be having people working for them who have chronic illnesses who don't disclose them because they're afraid of what the consequences will be.
Okay.
So what I would love to change is for there to be a culture within an organization where people can feel that they are empowered to ask for support, because often it doesn't need to be a huge amount of support. It can be maybe some flexible working. It could be as simple as changing the light bulbs in the ceiling lights, because often those sort of lights, the flickering lights, they can give you migraines. It could be the position of the chair, so it's not facing the main window, so that they're not getting too much glare off the window. For me, it's something as simple as being given a seat in a meeting rather than having to stand, because I have a condition which means that if I stand for too long, I can faint. So it's allowing people to have that permission to raise the fact that they've got a chronic illness and that they need some additional support, because otherwise people will leave that organization without getting the support that they need and go and find an easier job. Whereas, and that costs an organization a lot of money. If you've got to recruit somebody and then train them up, then that's very expensive. Plus, you've lost somebody who has the skills and knowledge of working in the organization. So it actually makes a lot of sense for organizations to really offer support and to show that they are, they've got a culture of supporting people with chronic illness. It just makes financial sense and moral sense as well.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what about a message from an employer's point of view to an employee who is silent about their chronic illness and does not want to disclose or feels afraid to disclose out of fear, like you mentioned, of maybe losing their job or whatever, or being judged or whatever. What do you think employers are hoping that employees will speak up and share? Like you mentioned, standing for a long time is not something that you can do. And if an employer doesn't know that, it's hard to judge that employer for not being accommodating when they have no knowledge, right? So from an employer's point of view, how should an employee address concerns or needs within the workspace in a way that is going to be successful?
I think it's important to do it in a very positive way, explain the situation and give suggestions of what changes could be made to support you as an employee. So, for example, in my case, I knew that the flickering lights in my office were giving me migraines, and that was having an effect on my work, because that afternoon and the next day, I was really struggling to be a good employee. And yet a simple change that wasn't going to cost them much money meant that I was a much better employee and they got much more money's worth out of me than they would have done if they kept on with the flickering lights. So it's trying to present it in a way of saying that I can be really good at my job, but I just need a bit of help. And this is what I propose.
And I love that we just need to open up and speak. And from an employee's point of view or an employer's point of view, we need to have the conversation. And we can't act as if people just know, right? Or again, if we're nervous about sharing our physical struggles where we're at right now, that if we can just speak up and share, and we can be a great productive part of any business by just, you know, having that moment and saying, listen, this is what I need to be productive here. Yeah. It's great.
Exactly. If you are really struggling, it's going to make your health so much worse if you're keeping it a secret and just trying to get on with it anyway. Because I know I was like that at first. I just tried to keep going and going and going when I was working for an organization, because I was scared to admit that I had a problem, but it meant that I wasn't asking for the support that I needed. And in the end, I left. Whereas if I had asked, I think possibly I might have got the right support and then I would have been able to stay. There's probably more of a chance that I would have been able to stay if I had had the right support at the beginning.
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I like that you shared that. So tell me about your community on Facebook. You started out, tell me about the very early days of your community and how you kind of built this, because it sounds like it's really doing well and there's great success there. But go back to the early days for somebody who is going to create a community on Facebook and they're in there by themselves and there's like one or two people hanging around and you're like, how am I going to make this grow? What am I going to do? Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, I didn't even use Facebook before I started it, really. So nice. I had joined Facebook because of my other business. But I wasn't really commenting or anything. I was just observing. So I was trying to get information about running a business and find out more. But I wasn't confident at using Facebook. So it was a huge learning curve for me. But I set up my group, and I posted in some, like, there were some business groups on Facebook, like Mums in Business and general business groups. And I just posted in there when I was allowed to, because they often have maybe a day in the week where you're allowed to promote what you're doing. And I just said, I've set up this community for people with chronic illnesses who want to run a business. If you're interested, to come along. And, slowly one or two people joined. And it was very slow to start off with, and I wasn't putting much out there in terms of content, but as I gained in confidence, I started putting more out there. So I started off putting things out like inspirational quotes and just some simple advice around taking care of yourself. And then it's grown into much more in-depth advice around how to get your business to work when you've got a chronic illness. And it's now more of a community as well, where people feel that they can ask questions. And there is a lovely community feel, actually, where I've noticed relationships building between different people. They're starting to collaborate, to go on each other's podcasts or talk in each other's groups and buy from each other as well. So the community spirit has really grown, which is lovely. I do allow my members of my group to promote their business every Friday. We've got a thread where they can talk about what they do and put their website on there. So, and people getting to know each other because of that, which is really lovely.
Nice. And I guess in the early days of any kind of Facebook community, it's like you as the creator of the group talking to your the people there. But then when you come in and you see your community talking to each other, and you're not even in the room, you're not even in the group that day, it's such a nice feeling to know that the community is feeding itself, right, and growing. It's nice.
It's exactly. I think that's the best bit about it is the other relationships that are happening and how they're supporting each other. That's what the dream was from the beginning. It took a while to get there, but I'm seeing that happen now. And that's really rewarding that they're there for each other.
Okay. This will be, I've never asked this question before ever, Sarah. So this is a new one. If you could speak to your community right now verbally and just give them a word of encouragement or thanks or whatever, I can just imagine them going, that's Sarah from the group. She's talking on a podcast. What would you like to say to your group that you haven't really had a chance to say in this kind of forum? How would you like to encourage them? And what would you like to say to your group?
I think that they all show so much courage. I mean, when you've got a chronic illness and they're set up a business and they're putting themselves out there on a daily basis, even often when they're not feeling very well, but they're showing up. And they're supporting each other. And that is fantastic to see. It's really inspirational, in fact, to see that sort of support taking place. I think when we've all got small businesses, we're not in competition with each other. In fact, we can grow much bigger as a collective if we support one another. And, my group are doing a wonderful job of doing that. And we have all sorts of businesses, all sorts of chronic illnesses, but it doesn't matter if everyone is there to support each other. And that's just amazing.
So there you go. To everyone in the group, thank you so much for being part of the community and helping Sarah grow this and helping each other and stepping up. And even if Sarah's not in the room, you can still share and help and support each other by being part of that community. And Sarah, thank you for creating that community. You talked about the loneliness and not being able to find that community in the early days. And that's why you started all of this. It's nice to see people respond to that thing that you were looking for originally, and you just created it. So your side hustle is the group, right? So you have an extra, right? So yeah, so that's, I love seeing the response. That's encouraging.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one thing that people say is, thank you so much for creating, because they just didn't think that anything like that existed, and it didn't until I set it up, because I don't know why, but it needs to be there. We need to have those sorts of support groups for people that are quite niched, but it does affect a lot of people, because especially with people with chronic illness, they're much more likely to run their own business because of the flexibility involved than somebody who hasn't got a chronic illness. So the figures show that there are more people running businesses with chronic illnesses. But if you're trying to run a business with a chronic illness and you're comparing yourself to other people who haven't got chronic illnesses, okay, it's really, really tough.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's going to be days where you do not feel like doing anything around your business because you physically can't, right? And that's a completely different atmosphere than other small businesses where that's not really how they're struggling right now. So that's another complexity that I think your group is great about helping and supporting each other. I love that.
Well, a lot of the business groups out there are very much around the hustle and pushing yourself really hard, working all the hours, posting on social media every day or multiple times a day. And that's just not feasible when you've got a chronic illness. Mm. So our approach is very different. It's very much about taking care of yourself first, and then your business will benefit as a result of that.
Okay. So Sarah, what about a listener to our podcast and they have a chronic illness, but they've never honestly considered how a side hustle could work into their life around medical appointments and health struggles and good days, bad days? What is the advantage of having a side hustle from your perspective when you do have a chronic illness?
For me, the biggest advantage is the hope that it's given me. When I was first diagnosed with a chronic illness or multiple chronic illnesses, the first thing that went for me was my hope for the future. I thought that was it. I was very ambitious, as a teenager and in my early career, and that ambition just went. And I found that when I started my own business and started building the community and started getting customers, that I got my hope back again, and I could see a future that wasn't defined by my chronic illness. It was more defined by the opportunities that I had.
Okay. As far as the going back to the community, what kind of guidelines do you have for someone who is interested in joining the community? Is there some certain things that, you know, would meet the expectations to be a part of that community?
So I don't have many expectations. I do ask that everybody who joins has some sort of chronic illness. Yeah. But that is self-defined.
Yeah.
I don't judge what anybody says is a chronic illness. If you believe that you have a chronic illness, then you're very welcome into my group. The only thing, other thing that I ask is that it is a supportive group and a positive group. It's about building each other up and having that sort of positive experience of being in the group.
Okay. So from the group and your interactions with your community, can you give us, we're talking in general terms right now, but I'd like to get some specific ideas of what people are doing as side hustles living with a chronic illness. Anything come to mind and you're like, well, that's a great idea. Wow, that I've never thought of that type of business before. Anything from your community that stands out as examples of a good side hustle?
Yeah, so what I'm most surprised about is the number of different types of side hustles that people are running. And they range from things like doing copywriting, marketing, social media marketing, through to products. So I've got somebody in my group who buys products and then she personalizes them. So she's got a machine to engrave and make changes to them. A lot of my people who are in the group, they do support other business owners. So got quite a lot of people who are virtual assistants. Yeah. And that can actually work very well when you've got a chronic illness, because you can choose how many customers you've got, and you can build it in your timelines around your illness as well. So I think that one seems to work. That one seems to be the most popular side hustle from the people in my group.
I think the other side of having a side hustle is the flexibility to work around your calendar, where you're not at the office at 9 a.m. for your employer, and you have to be there on time, and you have to work till 5 p.m. And you can do this whenever you feel you can. And when you can't, you don't, it's not a big deal. You can take a break. I like that flexibility.
Absolutely. But it's funny actually, because one of the conversations that comes up most often with people I'm working with is that there is an expectation set by society that you do work from 9 to 5. So the number of people who sit at their desks from 9 to 5 and are like, but I'm not getting anything done because I'm so tired. And I have to say to them, actually, no, I'll give you permission. You can work whatever hours you want. You do not have to sit at your desk. And in fact, you'll work much better if you're not sat at your desk 9 to 5. You listen to your body, find out when you have the most energy, and then work according to that. So if you get a burst of energy at 4 p.m. till 8 p.m., then that's the hours you should work. Yeah. And then stay in bed all day if you need to, or do whatever is good for you. But don't feel that you're obliged to sit at your desk for those hours, because you really aren't.
Do you think that having a side hustle, even if it's something small, very, very simple, do you think it is something that helps people to maintain some sort of healthy balance to life, where maybe a chronic illness might cause depression or you to withdraw, pull back from people and lose a routine? Do you think that some sort of side hustle helps you to maintain some kind of form of creativity during your week?
I do. Yeah. I ran a poll in my group just about 2 weeks ago now, where I asked that question. Does having your own business, does it have a positive or a negative effect on your health? And 100% of people said it had a positive effect on their health, because it gave them something to get up for. It gave them, positive mental health. It gave them that positivity that they needed. And they all said it had a real positive effect on their health, which is amazing to hear.
Okay, so not only are you building this great community and helping people, demonstrating it by living your side hustle, There's the name of the podcast. You're living your side hustle every day. You also now have a podcast to help people as well. Like, okay, this is great. You're like hitting on everything. Tell me about your podcast, because I would love to promote that here as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I host the Excel Against the Odds podcast, which is around running a business with a chronic illness. So there are some solo episodes where I give advice about running a business while looking after your health. And then probably the majority of them are interview episodes where I invite a guest who has a chronic illness and we talk about their business. And then we talk about the successes and challenges of running a business with a chronic illness. And we discuss things like society and what they can do better for people with chronic illness and what advice that they would give to somebody who was starting a business with a chronic illness. So, it's a love. I love doing the podcast. I have some amazing guests and, it's really fulfilling to do that.
Okay. Like you're doing everything correct, Sarah. Like you have found your audience, you're building community. You're in a niche where there's not a lot of people talking about this. You're checking all of the boxes, like check, check, check. It's great. Tell me a little bit about some of your past guests that stand out in your memory of like, oh, that was a great episode. I know they're all excellent. I understand. But there's a few maybe that stand out to you, like what a story or what a great interview or a great guest. Is there anything that stands out to you when people come to your podcast and they're like, go listen to this episode because it was so good?
Yeah, there was one probably two or three episodes ago with someone called Andrea Hansen, who lives in America. And she has MS and she now supports people to, she calls it living your life, not your diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And she really helps people to make sure that they are still living their life despite their chronic illness diagnosis. And yeah, that was really inspiring. I love talking to her. She's written the book as well. So that was a particularly good one.
Nice. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes so people can go straight to that episode right from here. So that'll be nice as well. So what are your plans with the podcast? Is this something where you release an episode when you have content or when you feel like releasing an episode? Tell me a little bit about your approach for your podcast.
So I do one episode a month generally. Yes. I came to an end of a season just before Christmas. So I'm on season 3 now. And I'm releasing one a month. Okay. I did start off doing it once a fortnight, but I just couldn't keep up the schedule with everything else that I was doing. So once a month seems to work quite well. And it means I can have those great conversations with my guests as well.
What have you learned about yourself about having a podcast?
I realized, I think I've always thought that I was quite an introvert, but I absolutely love talking to people and finding out about them and recording it and putting it out to the world. So that really surprised me that was something that I particularly love doing. I thought at first it was going to, I prefer to do talking by myself, but actually having those conversations is what really does inspire me. And I come off them completely buzzing after I've had those interviews. Yeah. I think I'm also really proud of the fact that I've actually managed to set up my own podcast and edit it and everything myself. I thought I wasn't going to be able to do that, but managed to pull it off and still going a couple of years later. So that's got to be a good thing.
So you have some new skills that you've gained by having a podcast. And again, the nice thing is people can listen to this podcast anytime in the future and connect with you and then come to your website, knowing your voice and knowing how you are as a person, and then connecting with you over on the website going, I already know you. And I already love what you do. So you don't have to explain anything. I don't need to see your About Me page because I know you. You've been in my ears and I love what you do. So I'm here to work with you or support you. So I love podcasts for that sense too.
Yes, I think you can get a real sense of the person, can't you, when you're listening to their podcasts. And that's a great thing. I love podcasts myself as well. So
good.
Yeah, great medium.
Any response from the audience in your podcast community as well?
Yeah, I do get emails from people, which is always very nice. And I think a lot of people in the group listen to my podcasts. So that really helps as well.
Okay. See, this is like a masterclass for people who are thinking about starting a side hustle and whether you have a chronic illness or not, this is a great example for everyone on how to find your community and build something for someone else. And sir, I just love your approach. You have thought this through very well, and I'm encouraging you. I'm so impressed, and I'm happy to have you here on the podcast. This is great.
Thank you.
Tell me about how people work with you. I'm interested in that part as well. Can you kind of expand on that as I go to your website and search through what is it like to work with you and what kind of services do you offer for people who reach out to you?
So I offer one-to-one mentoring to people so that we can sort of work over a period of 3 months to really get to understand your business and set up the correct strategy. Because I think often people are running their business with a strategy that would work if you didn't have a chronic illness. But when you have got a chronic illness, you've got to think about how you can work in a way that works with your health. So, for example, with my other business where I'm running birthday parties, that just doesn't work with my health. Running birthday parties wipes me out completely. So I've changed my strategy completely to a franchise model. So I can help look at things like strategies and planning to make sure that you're working on the right tasks at the right time to get you towards your goal. So and then fitting in things like how to look after yourself as well and your health while running a business and working with your right energy levels as well. So I work very closely with somebody and give them support between calls as well over Messenger, just to really help somebody to make sure that they are running their business in the right way for them with their health. I also run workshops that I advertise in my group. I will be running a program in a couple of months' time, a group program where we'll go through my methodology of how to run a business and really help people to get their business working for them in the correct way.
From your community and your audience, what is the biggest thing that you're noticing as a struggle, as a hard thing to get over when you have a chronic illness and you're trying to start a side hustle? What are some of those early day things that you can help people with to help them get started?
I think there's a couple of things. I think one of the ones is around accepting your illness and understanding that you can still run a business with an illness, and that finding ways to make it work, making sure you're not comparing yourself to others and keeping track of what you're achieving. So it's around sort of setting up those goals, knowing where you're heading and not getting distracted by what everybody else is doing along the way. Another issue that a lot of my clients have is that if they're having needing to take time off work, so if they're having bad health time, they've got a flare up of their symptoms, they need to go in hospital for an operation, that they just get so worried that their business is going to collapse without them. So I can help them set up things and put in place automations and different steps that they can put in place to make sure that their business can still run. Obviously, you can't do one-to-one work when that's happening, but that's again why we look at strategy, so that you've always got things that could be being sold, looking at things like passive income, so that you're not always having to be full on in your business, and you can take that time off if you need to or if you want to as well, because obviously people might want to take a holiday from their business every now and then as well.
Okay, so I have an interesting question that just came to me while you're answering that question, and I don't know. For those that are not in your Facebook community, who do not have a chronic illness, but would love to hire somebody from your community. So we talk virtual assistants. Is there a way that we outside of your community can promote and support your community by hiring the people in your community or working with them? How would we ever get in touch with them to know who they are and what they offer? Because I would love to see that as a resource for us as listeners to say, Sarah, we love what you do. We love your community and we want to support those in your community. We want to hire them. You're going to be our first choice. We're going to come to you. And if nobody in your community offers what I'm looking for, I'm going to go somewhere else, but I'm going to start with you and your group. How do I connect with you as an employer, as a business, as somebody looking for someone to hire? But I want to start with your group first.
Yeah, I think at the moment to connect with me, I do have a grand plan, which is to create a business directory where I list all of the people in my group who have chronic illnesses and run a business so that, that other people outside the group can find them. That's a bit of a longer term project at the moment, but it's something that I'm quite passionate about doing. I've obviously interviewed quite a lot of people on my podcast now. There's one interview which was probably December 2021, where I interviewed about 10 people in my group all in one podcast episode. They all left like little snippets. Nice. And I put those all together because my business was selected to be part of the Small Biz 100 in the UK, which is top 100 businesses in the UK. And we have a day in December called Small Business Saturday. And so I wanted to really support the other businesses in the community. So I got people to put together little snippets of information about what advice they'd give other people and what their main successes have been, and put that all together in a podcast episode. So there's information on my podcast, but if there's anything that you're particularly looking for in terms of a business, then I know pretty much everybody in my group. I know what they do. I pay real attention to what my members are doing, what sort of businesses they're running. So I've got a wealth of knowledge to share. Nice. With anybody who wants to know more information.
Awesome. That's great. And I just love the idea that you can make that bridge now outside of your community and bring people in and highlight your great community. So I love the fact that you already have that in the works and plans. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, okay, before we go, for anybody thinking about a side hustle, what do you think is the superpower about having a side hustle? What will it do for anyone listening who is contemplating starting any type of side hustle? From your perspective, what is the greatest thing about having a side hustle?
I think it's the personal development. If you've got your own business, you have to grow as a person. You're continually learning. Not only are you running your business as it is, so say you're a copywriter, for example, not only do you learn about the copywriting business, but you'd have to learn how to market it, how to sell it, how to do the finances, how to manage customers. There is so much to learn when you're running a business, and you're always learning as well. And I think that is amazing, to have that sort of growth mindset and to constantly be developing as a person.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I love is meeting the people along the journey as well. Having those conversations, finding out about other people's businesses and building those collaborations. I think there is such a wonderful community amongst business owners and side hustle owners, that it's really wonderful if you can get out there and start mixing with those people and just finding out what people are doing and learning from them. I think that's a great thing, that knowledge sharing that takes place.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. This is such a great conversation. So for anyone that has a chronic illness, you're considering starting a side hustle, you have a side hustle, and you feel alone, you feel like there's no one out there. As Sarah mentioned early on, there's no one there. Come over to Sarah's Facebook group, go and sign up and submit to be part of this community. That sounds like such a great, welcoming and loving community. You should be there. So we have links in the show notes to that. If you love podcasts, and who doesn't, because we're on a podcast right now, make sure you go over to Sarah's podcast and follow, like, share, review. What I would suggest is that you send an episode to someone you know and love and encourage them with an episode from Sarah's podcast so they can listen to it and say, you need to hear this episode. It's fantastic. So I'm encouraging you to send that as well and encourage Sarah by doing that. And then head over to the website as well. Links in the show notes. As always, please go and support Sarah and all the great things that are happening over at Excel Against the Odds. It's, I love the community you've built, and I'm wishing you well. I'm wishing you endurance and happiness for your community as you continue to grow, and just watching with great interest and great admiration for all that you're doing, Sarah. It's great.
Oh, thank you so much, David. It's been an absolute joy speaking to you today as well.
Excellent. So everyone, please go over and check out all the information. And Sarah, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you, KidsPod. a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.